Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
9:41, 19 before 10. It seems like every time we have David Hammer on, he uncovers something else as far as the Hard Rock collapse and some other investigative stories he does, and he comes back. And he was on Friday. Then I watched the report Friday night, and I said, let's get him back. And he is. David Hammer, WWL-TV, Channel 4 investigative reporter. Hey.
Hey, and thanks for always having me back.
Well, you're quite welcome. You know, I think when we were talking to you Friday, I said, I presume there's something else you're investigating, and you said, yes, there is. And
yep.
I turned on the television, and sure enough, you were. Tell us, I guess, what you've uncovered, David, and I don't know if you want to start with the city inspector. The best way to present the information, I'm leaving it up to you.
Okay, well, I mean, first of all, let me just say this is a marathon, not a sprint, in terms of trying to figure out exactly who and what's responsible for the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. But we're definitely finding out things that are disturbing. And, you know, shortly after the collapse, we got this video from a worker who had been on the 16th floor who was showing how these support posts, shoring, post shores, they're called, that are temporary supports for the floors while the concrete is curing and setting after they pour the concrete on the floors, were bending, and they were disturbed by that and by the large spaces in between the permanent support posts. And we reported that, but after a while, we were able to talk to multiple employees, multiple workers, and engineers who are experts in the field, and piece together that there were, you know, concerns that they had not let the concrete cure long enough before removing those temporary supports. And like you said, there was a inspection by the city on October 1st. And remember, the collapse happened on October 12th. And so on October 1st, the city inspector said it's okay to pour the final top floor, the 18th floor rooftop deck. And workers told us, and we've confirmed this from multiple workers, that that pour happened on Friday, October 4th. And the workers say that they started removing the post shores, those temporary posts that hold things up on the floors below. They started removing them on October 7th. So now, just counting back, that's 5 days before the collapse and only 3 days after that final pour. And we got documents and standards, nationwide standards, that show that you've got to wait at least 14 days before you can start taking those temporary posts out, especially with expanses of 20 feet and more between the permanent supports. So we started to see where the actions started to deviate from the standard procedures for this type of construction. We started to hear the concerns of workers who were there at the time expressing concerns to the higher-ups and not really getting anywhere with those concerns.
So in terms of who was doing what, because it's not always on a construction site where you have one company and then they control everything. There are a lot of times subcontractors, etc. Do
right.
you know who it was, first of all, who was overseeing the concrete work? If there was a construction management company or some kind of project engineer, because somebody had to go along with what the city inspector said. And also along those lines, given the standards that you quoted, have you reached out to the city inspector at all, or have you gotten any word from them?
Yeah, so we reached out to the city trying to get a comment. It appears, and we don't have anything solid from them yet. Yeah, we're still waiting on a full explanation. But it appears that the city's role is very limited in terms of these inspections. They're looking to see if it's okay with the metal pan decking that they put under before they pour the concrete. They're looking to see if everything is set up right to pour. But they don't appear, from the documents that we've received from the city so far, to actually be checking to see if the concrete has cured, that that's not part of their purview. And so when the inspector's going in, she's saying, okay, it's ready to pour the next level, or it's ready to pour the next section of the flooring, but she's not actually checking to see if the shoring posts are being removed in an appropriate time frame, et cetera. Now, as far as the contractor who's responsible, Citadel Builders is the lead contractor on this project, and there are documents showing that Heaslip Engineering, the engineer on the project, assigned the responsibility for that back to Citadel Builders, which is a typical thing, back to the contractor to assign them the responsibility for shoring. So ultimately, no matter who was doing that on Citadel's behalf, it is Citadel who appears, according to the documents that we've reviewed, to be responsible for that part of the process.
When I was attending the University of Life, I worked for a construction management company, and part of my job was to take the three test cylinders of each truck that came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time it was Delta. I don't know if they're even still in business or not. But in terms of testing the concrete, I see your story here. And as I remember it, they would check it at 3 days, 7 days, and 28 days.
Right.
To make sure that what's in the cylinder matches, first off, to make sure that what's in the truck matches what's been poured. And that's what these cylinders do. Is it common to wait until the 28-day testing on this stuff? Because it would seem, with a project that big, that might be the most prudent way to proceed.
Well, it might be, but as far as I can tell, the standards allow you to pour earlier than the 28 days. What you're doing is essentially testing that it will reach a certain strength by the 28th day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they, like you say, they take the cylinders and then they essentially do like a stress test and determine at what pounds per square inch of pressure they fracture that the concrete would fracture. And they can determine using calculations what that strength will be on after 28 days. And so if it reaches a certain level earlier than that, then it allows for this removal. But as I said in the story, the standards are, you know, at least 2 weeks, and in many cases, depending on the load on the building itself, it's 3 weeks. So that's where it appears from the people, the witnesses, and the documents that they ran afoul of those standards.
And you've spoken, I don't know how hesitant people have been to speak to you, because, you know, everything's a small world and you want to work again, but
right,
from some of
the
workers themselves, what are you getting?
Well, that's what they're saying, is that they express those concerns. Like you say, a lot of them are concerned about speaking. I think we've already seen very clear evidence of, you know, illegal immigrants working on this job. ICE went in and actually picked somebody up already after they were injured in the incident. And so, you know, that limits people who are willing to speak. And there's, you know, just a lot of other pressures, like you said, in terms of wanting to work again in this area, not wanting to be seen as a snitch or whatever. Okay. And so people who are speaking to us, so a lot of them are on a condition of anonymity, but we did quote some of the workers, you know, by name, who are willing to come forward and said that they were concerned about this. And a lot of others, including some of the contractors who were, you know, the owners of the subcontract firms, expressed concern, or had their foreman express concern to the higher-ups on the project, and were basically told, don't worry about it.
Each construction company, I thought, had somebody that was in charge of safety on each job, or at least went around from job to job, making sure ostensibly that it was all safe. And what did any of that, did Citadel have any of that as far as you know? And what about OSHA? What is their role in all of this so far?
Well, OSHA is investigating. They started right away on the Saturday of the collapse on October 12th with their post-incident investigation. But they have people who come to the job site and review things along the way. We've not seen the documentation on exactly how often they were on site at the Hard Rock or at what point they were there right before the collapse. As far as the subcontractors having their safety experts, that also is something that we're trying to run down and nail down. We do know that the superintendents on this job were were made aware of concerns in the days leading up to this, and essentially said to move along, don't worry about it, it's under control. And there was people expressing that they were being told repeatedly, we've got to get this done for Mardi Gras, we've got to get this done for Mardi Gras. That's an extremely quick time frame when you consider how far along it was, that they were still, you know, basically pouring the top floor, and they still had to deliver another rooftop pool and all this other stuff before they could even start getting the interior ready and putting the walls on and all of that. So considering that they're talking about a 4-month turnaround there, that seems extreme. But, you know, I'm not an expert in that.
Well,
I
know you're going to continue. You're going to continue to keep investigating, and I hope you come back the next time you find something. That does answer a question of mine, David, which is, well, what is the goal here? Why are we rushing this? And what's the upside as opposed to the downside? The supposed upside was that they would be open for Mardi Gras, correct? That's what you just told me?
That's what they're saying. That's what the workers who are there are saying.
Thank you, David. We got to go. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye. A lot of layers of that story. We'll continue to dig along with Dave and Hammer back in a second. WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.